I could speak for a few moments from that verse that Megan mentioned, Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. When I heard that my Megan had become a Christian and wanted to be baptized, it was simply one of the happiest days of my life. Megan was a very unique child. She's talked about what it was like growing up in the Oliver household. Well, I'll tell you what it was like growing up with Megan. I don't think I've ever come across anyone who was quite so strong-willed as Megan and independent as Megan. I think you could probably say stubborn as Megan. Naomi would dress her when she was tiny. Megan would immediately change into the clothes she wanted to wear. Before she was one, she was colour coordinating her own wardrobe. She talked about being jealous sometimes of others. She has two older sisters. And there was a time, a day, which almost resulted in civil war in the Oliver household. The oldest daughter, Katie, had a very special toy. And this toy was stolen. We searched everywhere for it. We couldn't find it. Katie was absolutely heartbroken. We eventually found the toy under Joe's pillow. Nobody suspected that perhaps tiny Megan might have stolen it in the first place and put it under Joe's pillow so that Joe got the blame. She was studying Machiavelli long before she was interested in Moses. And poor Joe shouldered the blame for that for years and years. And it was only after a conversion that Megan finally confessed. But we loved her to bits, as we love all of them. And Naomi and I know for any child to become a Christian, it takes a miracle anyway. The power of God and the grace of God to save them. So when I heard that Megan had become a Christian, I was really interested in how God had spoken to her, what he'd used from his word. And I guess secretly I was hoping she was going to say, "Dad, it was that sermon you preached last week. It was the best ever." And she didn't say that. She said this was the words that helped me so much. It's a text I've never preached on. It's one that comes from one of the darker parts of the Old Testament. It's words which are spoken by a 120-year-old man on his birthday, you notice. But he's dying. He's on his last legs. He's living in a tent in the wilderness. But what a text. He's speaking to a younger man, Joshua, and indeed to a whole younger generation who are going to be facing new challenges and new trials. They'll be living in times of change, but Moses is saying, one thing will not change, Joshua. You've got to understand this. Tomorrow, God will still be faithful. And the Lord your God will go with you. And he will not leave you or forsake you. And what we've got here is a text which is made up of a command. You've got to be strong and courageous. Don't fear or be in dread of them. But that command stands on a promise. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And if you take the promise out, then the command becomes impossible. In fact, it becomes cruel. And yet, for so many people, I think they are trying to be strong without knowing the promise. And it just doesn't work. So let's do that first of all. Let's just take the command. Be strong and courageous. Don't fear or be in dread of them. And that's it. Pull your socks up, in other words. Think of what Joshua was facing. He was facing the invasion of Canaan. 40 years previously, their fathers had got to this point and then they turned back. Because 40 years previously, there'd been giants in the land. And you know what? I imagine there still were. In fact, I know there were. If Canaan had had a basketball team, they would have had a winning streak longer than the Harlem Globetrotters. There were giants in the land. But they didn't have a basketball team. They had armies. and vast armies. And there were walled cities. There were ferocious, scary tribes who were trained in warfare. And Joshua was heading up a vast band of former slaves whose forefathers had been shepherds, who'd been forced to turn their hand to bricklaying. And if all Moses could say was, pull yourselves together, be strong, don't fear the giants, don't fear the vast armies, don't fear the overwhelming challenges of the future, you'll be fine, then I'm sorry, but I couldn't accept that command. Could you? It would be saying, you are sufficient for all of the challenges ahead. And I'm not. And Megan isn't. Not by herself. One of the great things about Christianity is we get to a point where we say, I can't do it. I'm weak. And I need someone who is strong. But are some of you trying to live on just the command? Are you on your own, facing a future that you don't know? Will you be able to be strong and courageous and fear nothing when old age creeps up on you? Or when death comes? Can you say, I'm not going to be in dread of anything. I am by myself sufficient and I'm able to sort these things out. It doesn't work. People who try and do that, they end up being stoical on the outside, but inside they're scared. So we need the promise here so much. For, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And suddenly when you've got that, everything changes. Giants don't seem so big when beside you is the God who can measure the universe with the span of his hand. In fact, they seem rather small. Or the God who can cut the oceans in the palm of his hand. The future isn't so scary when your God already knows the end from the beginning. I tell my congregation at Netley that I have to have spoilers. I've heard this before. If I read a book, I have to read the last pages first. I want to know what's happening. I don't like surprises. If I watch a box set on Netflix, I'm on Google finding out what happens. I want to know. And it's exactly the same for me in life. I want God's wonderful spoilers in life that tell me, the book of Revelation, we win. Do you want to live in doubt? I don't. And the future isn't so scary when the God who knows the end from the beginning, who controls the future, tells us that we win because he's with us and he won't leave us or forsake us. Death isn't so frightening when God comes to us in Jesus and absolutely destroyed death through the cross and the resurrection. Satan isn't the all-powerful one when you know that Jesus has overcome him and silenced him. The day of judgment isn't terrifying when you know that your God is with you still, because that's what he says here, and he's not going to forsake you. And Jesus is going to stand beside you on that day and speak for you and say, this one belongs to me. My blood washed away their sins. My righteousness covers them. It was a text that was proved throughout Moses' life all those years ago. He wasn't Superman. He wasn't even Charlton Heston. There were times when he was scared. Sorry, you had to know the film to get that. There were times when he was terrified. That's why God said, don't be afraid, because he was scared. He knew he was weak, but he knew that God hadn't left him, that God wouldn't forsake him when he confronted Pharaoh, when he stood at the Red Sea, when he was at Sinai. There were times when Moses failed God, but God never failed him. And through all those long years, the secret of Moses' life was this text. God is faithful. You don't have to be scared. You're not alone. He is with you. But then finally, you've got to believe the promise. What you are called on here is to accept this for yourself. It's no good just having the words. We have to embrace them by faith. You might think, well, that was easier for Moses because he'd seen so much of God. Well, let me tell you a secret. Moses would have loved to have swapped positions with you. He would have loved to have seen things from your perspective. Moses had in his hands just a few pieces of God's great jigsaw of history. And he had the bits that God had given to Adam and to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and the bits he'd given to him, and he was trying to piece this together. But he hadn't got the rest of the Old Testament. And it's not until Jesus comes along that we get all of the pieces. And we see the whole picture. And they all fit together. And because we're not very good at jigsaws, the apostles in their letters, they put the whole picture together and show how everything points to Jesus. He longed to see Jesus' day and all that Jesus would win for us. From where you stand in history, you look back and see what Jesus had done. Moses was peering into the future, trying to see it. And it's because of Jesus that God can be our God. Because his Son came into the world to redeem us back to God through the cross. The cross that was the fulfillment of all of those sacrifices that Moses offered throughout his life. This is why God can say to you, I will never, ever forsake you, because Jesus was forsaken on the cross by his Father for our sins. That Moses couldn't see that that was going to happen. We can. He believed it was going to happen somehow. But you and I, Meg, and all the other believers here, we look into the darkness of Calvary and we see Jesus being forsaken by his Father for our sins, and we say that's why he'll never ever forsake us. It's done. It's dealt with. It's real. And what we deserve, Jesus took, and what he deserves, he gives. And I ask everybody here, have you believed this? That God comes to us and goes with us and saves us and rules over our lives in Jesus and says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Meg, he'll be true to that promise. He will not ever forsake you. We're talking about Granddad who died last year, aged 81. Right to the end of his days, the Lord was faithful to Granddad and walked through those last days with him. Took him into his presence where he is now. God never forsook him, or his wife, your nanny, or your grandpa and your grandma here. They've walked with Jesus for years and years. And your brothers and sisters here, hands up if you're a Christian and God has completely forsaken you. No. He hasn't, and he won't. He can't. He will not lie. And he'll be, what he'll do, Meg, is, because he knows you love this verse, he'll be whispering it to you so often. And sometimes, because you'll be hard of hearing, he'll be shouting it at you as well into your life. And he repeats it so often in the Bible, to Joshua, to David, to the disciples, to Paul in the letter of the Hebrews, because we need to go on hearing it. It isn't just for today. There'll be new challenges in the future, new giants to fear. But Moses would tell you, one thing won't change, Meg. Jesus will still be faithful. Jesus will still be with you. He'll still be saying, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never stop loving you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can look at words that were spoken by an old man looking back over his life, encouraging a younger generation and just talking about how faithful you are. And thank you that people have been able to do that to us, speak about the goodness of God. But we thank you most of all that you speak out the goodness of God in your word, in that which points to Jesus. And in the gospel, you've said, I'll never, ever leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never let you down. I'll never fail you. Help us, we pray, if we're trying to be strong on our own, just to see how weak we are, and yet how strong and courageous we can be in Christ Jesus. Bless Meg now as we come to this time of baptism. In Jesus' name, amen.